Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
But as far as partnering with the county, there was an interview this morning with the county administrator on a local radio station. I shared that with members of council. You can listen to it. It's on their website. It was the first time it has been publicly stated what their true intent is, and that is to build a multi-million gallon per day treatment plant in East Milton to service that entire area from the Blackwater River to the Yellow River south of Highway 9. And
thank you for sharing that today, too. I appreciate that. And
a local radio station? What local radio station are they talking about? what's the place or the person? Is it? Does anybody know who the...
You all know exactly who I am. Say my name.
So, yeah, it was an interview that I did with Brad Baker a couple of weeks ago that Ed Spears, city manager in the city of Milton, was talking about there to Heather Lindsay. And what you've had here is that, first of all, you have a sudden epiphany by Mike Cusack, former opponent. He was one of the ones who voted down the old wastewater treatment plant plan that was funded and permitted and ready to go, and is now, of course, complaining that everybody's always kicking the can down the road. But, sir, and also had previously even said that we shouldn't even be building a wastewater treatment plant because, you know, they cost too much money. That was in the December meeting. I'm just getting you caught up if you're just joining us.
And if I'm afraid that if we keep going down this road with this wastewater treatment plant, we're going to put city services at risk, and we're on the risk, in my opinion, of maybe putting this city in bankruptcy.
So we're going to bankrupt the city if we build a wastewater treatment plant. He's now changed his tune without admitting he's changed his tune.
Councilman Cusack, I thought you had some questions. Did that report answer him?
Yeah, that answered some of them. You know, one of the things that I think we all should look at as a council, this wastewater treatment plant is the biggest thing on the table, if I'm not mistaken, correct? And it's a great revenue source for the city.
So he's a convert. He's had a Avalon Boulevard experience. He's got kicked off his donkey, and, you know, now his eyes have been open, and, you know, he knows what's what. Okay, so back to the middle of the meeting here, where you have Ed Spears sharing the information from the interview that I did with Brad Baker and not saying which I understand. Ed's smart. Ed can't go in front of the city council and say, you know, that Andrew McKay said. They all know who I am. I talk too bad about them all the time. Anyway, but I would praise them if they do good stuff, and I will when they do good stuff. Anyway, so that was, and by the way, in this meeting so far, Mike Cusack has insulted Joe Cook, who is the public works director, saying that we don't have anybody on staff who knows how to build a wastewater treatment plant. Joe's built at least three. We need somebody who can handle grants. Sandy Woodbury is a grants genius. She's the one that got the first one completely funded, and we'll work to get the second one, if they ever get there, actually funded. So they go on to talk about this issue of the building of the wastewater treatment plant, this never-ending saga in Milton.
That's been one of my concerns, which is why I was against the regional water utility, because that was going to hurt Milton employees, and that, I believe, would have hurt Milton ratepayers. For the water utility of the city of Milton to be transferred to a regional governance. And so it sounds like that's really what the county is hoping will happen with wastewater. I don't think that's going to be good for Milton.
This is where the county is going to be building that package plant. That's a smaller wastewater treatment plant on the back of the industrial park on Avalon Boulevard. On 87, excuse me, right by I-10. And they're going to eventually expand that capacity to maybe 2 million gallons a day, which is not a big plant, but it's enough to handle East Milton, at least for now. And then, you know, Milton will have to figure out what to do with the old plant that currently discharges into Blackwater River. DEP has told them they got to get out. Just catching you up if you're new to all of this, okay? And here's where it gets interesting, because this spat kind of between the city and the county over who's going to do what, because the county has turned down the city's application to build one at a different location that's just a little bit to the east of the old location that the Pitchfork Posse killed. She says, look, they need to defer to the fact that we've been invested in this process for so long.
I expect that the county commissioners are trying to support development. We have been trying to support development for years, too. Milton has never been against development. Milton has always been trying to get this done. And so, like Councilman Cusack said, we don't gain anything by playing a blame game here. But the question should not be whether, you know, the county is going to replace the efforts that we've been undertaking. We have spent millions and millions of dollars on this project already.
And I would change one word. We have wasted. Because if they have spent and we have zero to show for it, wasted, spent, it's a little bit different anyway.
Efforts that we've been undertaking. We have spent millions and millions of dollars on this project already. And the county should recognize that it is not good for the taxpayers of this area for them to take this on when we've already invested for so many years so much money towards the project.
Now, I will say, they have bought land, you know, and it's not zero to show for it. It's just not much to show for it, right?
So I certainly hope that everyone who heard Brad Baker's interview today will continue to lobby the county commissioners and tell them, let Milton have a chance to do this.
Interview? With whom?
Say my name.
Anyway, go lobby your county commissioners.
Because we've already invested so much in it. And how will it help the taxpayers and the ratepayers for the county to not allow Milton to finish what we started?
Well, of course, the issue from the county is concerns about the location given the arguments that disqualified the prior plant proposal that was ready to go and funded and permitted, and also a feeling that the city just can't do the job and won't get it done. We'll come back to this in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Let's see here. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are looking good still. But if you're traveling on Avalon Boulevard headed southbound toward I-10, expect maybe a 7 to 10 minute delay getting onto I-10. But other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. So again, context here, they're talking about hiring a point person to do all the things that the staff has already been doing and done successfully before. Mike Cusack, who's advocating for this.
Everybody here is, they've got do this. If we have one central person focused on this only to get it done, I think that would be, that would show the commitment that we have made to the county and to the citizens of Milton, saying, hey, they're finally doing it, you know, trying to get it done, and they're taking this step to make it happen. And that's just my opinion.
Again, he's talking about finding somebody to do the work that Joe Cook and Sandy Woodbury, who work for the city as the grants manager and the director of public works, both can do very capably. He has repeatedly said in the meeting, no offense to anybody, but we don't have the staff. You do have the staff. And even the mayor had to backfill for him and make good with them to try to praise them on the backside. This is going to continue to get worse.
Like I say, you can only stretch people's responsibility so far, right? I mean, you know, you have a central person that can oversee it. It's a vital thing that needs to happen, and it just needs to happen. You keep kicking the can down the road, and you accomplish nothing, so...
Well, that's, I feel like the county is the one that's kicked the can down the road. That's my personal opinion. But
I think she's saying that because they denied us our conditional use permit, what I would say is, but y'all voted down the project. So that was the biggest can that got kicked. And even Heather Lindsay realizes that Mike has so repeatedly insulted the staff in this meeting that something needs to be said. Ed Spears stood up for them. She needs to stand up for them.
As far as what you're saying, Councilman Cusack, I believe we're in agreement. And I just want to reiterate my thanks to Mr. Cook and Ms. Woodbury and Mr. Spears and to former city manager Mr. Jorgensen. All of y'all have worked your butts off to get this done, and I appreciate that.
Which is correct, yeah.
From my perspective, because of the different feedback I received from people at the county over the years, no one said anything about the city not getting it done. I think it was more a matter of, y'all have a lot to do already. Maybe if you had a project point person, it would be, you know, moving along in a smoother way. But that was never brought up as a criticism to any city staff. And I just wanted to make sure y'all hear that from me.
Yeah, I'm not, like I said, I'm not trying to blame game or criticize anybody, but there's only so much you can do, right, in your job, right, with your other responsibilities.
And Mayor, Councilman Cusack, thank you for your comments. I appreciate them, and I understand the sentiment.
Thank you for your comments. After you have completely insulted my staff the entire day, thank you for your comments. Robert Leake, also to the rescue, who was one of the people who voted down the old plant proposal, and But, you know, he also recognizes we have major senior staff here who we're trying to make sure that they don't get insulted out of a job. Because I secretly wonder. I wonder if Mike Cusack's trying to run people off. You know, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it any other way. He says he's a great businessman and he knows how to manage people and businesses. But sir,
you know, I do have 100% faith in Ed Spears and Joe Cook and Sandy Woodbury to get this done. You know, I don't think I would support a project manager. You know, at this point, I think Mr. Cook can handle that. And Ms. Woodbury can and Jacob can handle the grants. And I believe that Ed can handle the day-to-day moving forward along with his current duties if I would quit calling him.
Yeah, no, and that's good. It's good to have another member of council kind of stand up and say, no, our staff are great. Why don't you shush? I think, honestly, now that you've kind of heard the conversation a little bit, one of my very favorite things in this meeting actually took place. It wasn't the part about us, our interview with Brad Baker and them not saying the name, although that was funny. If you go back earlier to the very beginning of this meeting, Tim Chandler, who is a Marine Corps League, I guess he's a chaplain with the Marine Corps League. I don't know him personally, but he was the one who came in and did the invocation, you know, the prayer. And given everything that you know about the City of Milton Council, not the city, but again, I say that the staff is great. The city is great. It's a wonderful place to live. John, you live there. It's a wonderful place to live.
Yes, it is.
But then you have this some, anyway, elected Surface. Officials. It's not even all on the board. I sometimes make it seem like it's everybody on the council, and it's really not. There are a couple of, you know, good ones on the council and a couple TBD. You know, I'm not sure about a couple of them just yet. Anyway, but the invocation made me laugh. Ready? You prepared for this?
You know, I was watching the meeting, and when I was driving over, I was thinking about speaking about love and, you know, how we, if we show God's love, no matter if we disagree on different items or issues or politics or whatever, but if we can still treat people with love and respect, we can get a lot more accomplished. But I've seen a lot of that here sitting in the back. And I thought, well, I don't think this is a group I need to tell about love. I mean, they're all treating each other great.
Maybe more than just the one meeting. It's the evidence that you're looking for. So, it's adorable. I mean, it's adorable. It's really sweet. And I will say, there has been more harmony since they ousted people and, you know, voted out the people that they didn't like. But, well, you know. As far as the Anthony Sabatini thing, you know, good Lord. Anthony Sabatini is a candidate to be the attorney for the City of Milton to take the job that we're after they fired Alex Andrade. Anthony Sabatini would be entertaining, as many people have texted me. Andrew, if he gets the job as city attorney, you will never run out of material. Yeah, but he's not going to get that job. They like John Adams with Gray Robinson. That's not going to change. I don't think there's any chance that they're going to hire a very bombastic, out of town from elsewhere in Florida guy to come in and be the roughshod lightning rod that he certainly was when he was in the legislature. But, you know, I mean, Milton's done other things that were inexplicable to me, so you never know. 7:23 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life.
The calendar tells us that today is Earth Day, and this day provides an appropriate time for us to look at God's creation and to thank Him for the beauty of this earth. Think with me about God creating the sun and the moon, which provide day and night for the earth. Think about the size of the oceans across the planet. About 71% of the earth's surface is water. Yet consider the land that God created with the beautiful grass and flowers and fruit trees. Think about the seasons and the blessings of winter, spring, summer, and fall. Marvel at the birds in the air and the fish in the sea. Consider the cattle and the majestic beasts of the earth. And with all that in mind, remember that God describes the earth as His footstool. Isn't that incredible? As big and as glorious as the earth is to us, it is merely God's footstool. What a mighty God we serve.
For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Lexus, BMW, Jaguar.
Where is the best place to take your vehicle for service and repair? That, my friend, is Matrix Auto Service, the future of auto service.
Porsche, Mercedes, Land Rover.
Their expert technicians provide top-notch service and repairs to all makes and models. At Matrix Auto Service, they pride themselves on transparency, honesty, and customer satisfaction with their number one goal, getting you back on the road quickly and safely. Matrix Auto Service, 5675 North Davis Highway.
You ever try fixing your car and realize you're missing that one part? Yeah, been there. That's why eBay's my go-to. They've got millions of parts, guaranteed to fit. I'm talking brake pads for when yours have seen one too many miles of stop and go. Oil filters, because you don't mess around with your engine care. Even got this cold air intake on my watch list. I might just go for it. To keep the ride cool and your DIY streak hot. Find all the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. eBay. Things. People. Love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story in 2025 with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Contact us to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
News Radio Pensacola has a team of experienced and award-winning journalists dedicated to bringing you the most accurate and up-to-date news coverage. Informative, local, dependable.
Turn it off, man! Turn it off! It's sucking my will to live! All the humanity!
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out. Because I love you too much, baby.
I'm getting a duet over here. I mean, I got John Pickens singing in my ear. I got the King singing on the radio. 7:26 on news. Oh, you're performing it now. I kind of like that. Look at that. You and your Elvis impression.
I know.
Do you own a flare bottom pants or anything?
No, but my mom wishes I did.
No. Oh. Well, that's a subject for a different therapy session. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives, John.
No accidents to report to you right now, but if you're traveling Highway 20, if you're traveling Highway 29 approaching 9 Mile going southbound, you're going to see some delays there. Also, traffic is still backing up on Avalon Boulevard headed southbound to I-10. And as we flow over to 98 eastbound, just east end of our Beach Bridge, it's actually flowing pretty good right now. I'm John Pickett's with your traffic on the team.
Somebody
Thank
texted
you.
And
Thank
says,
you
now that's music. No, it is. It's
yeah,
fantastic.
It is. Fantastic.
You know, when they actually made music, and sometimes they still do. Somebody says Elvis, the best song, in my humble opinion. Okay, all right. I love getting comments on the bumper music. That's great.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines, who's watching all of this thinking, I thought we were doing a news show.
No, I like this. This is fun. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says there will be a vote on President Trump's tariff policy. Schumer making that announcement yesterday. He says he believes there might be enough Republican support to pass a resolution in the Senate. That resolution would reverse the 10% tariffs on goods that are imported to the United States.
Yeah, it does definitely seems likely that a lot of Republicans in the Senate are going to stand up to President Trump. Seems pretty plausible, Chuck. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Go on.
I hear the sarcasm. I
Do you?
It.
From me?
It's unbelievable. So I know. Google's back in court after a federal court ruled the company operates a monopoly. The Department of Justice is proposing a package of remedies to end the monopoly and restore competition. The hearing, which started Monday, will determine if they can remain in their current form or they'll have to sell off portions of the company. And an actor known as the host of Reading Rainbow, also, as Geordi LaForge on
yes.
Star Trek The Next Generation, LeVar Burton is going to be an honorary Doctor of Humane Letters. He is getting a degree from Howard University, an honorary degree, and he'll be speaking to their graduating class during their upcoming commencement.
That would be an interesting speech. I'll watch that one if I remember to do it. Yeah. When is that? Do you have a date?
That is May 10th.
Okay. Long way away. So tomorrow is a long way away to me.
Mark it on the calendar.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Oh, this is a kind of an interesting story. I'm going to be very curious to see where this goes. Reporting by the New York Times says that one of the additional elements of President Trump's like national policy agenda is something that I have not heard of before, but I am completely on board with if it's true. Four people who say they are close to some of the White House discussions around the topic say the Trump administration has been working with multiple proposals over the question of how to increase married Americans having more children. And listen, if they're on to that, amen, because the CBO, Congressional Budget Office, expects about 1.6 births per woman over the next three decades. That's bad because replacement is 2.1. This is a Western and also Eastern civilizations are really having trouble with replacement. You know, China and India, and you know, don't make more babies. Oh, crud. What have we done? You know, like the Bible says, be fruitful and multiply. And I don't think that one's been rescinded. But the administration is looking at things like reserving some of the Fulbright scholarships for married applicants or applicants with children, baby bonuses, $5,000. I'll tell you one thing. If you could reform OBGYN malpractice insurance, and if you could, like, chop those rates in half. We are OBGYN for our first baby. She left the business because they doubled her insurance rates in a year. It's crazy out there. The cost of having a baby is massive. So, good. Do it. Do something.
Fox News. I'm CJ Papa. 3 days of public viewing. Pope Francis begins Wednesday. Fox's CB Cotton outside St. Patrick's Cathedral in Manhattan.
There will be a noon mass held today to honor the late pontiff who visited this same cathedral nearly 10 years ago. And last night, the Empire State Building had its tower lights shining in gold and white.
A funeral in Rome, 4 a.m. Eastern Saturday. President Trump and the First Lady Melania Trump will attend the ceremony. Pope Francis dying Monday at the age of 88. The White House defending Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth.
The White House is also blaming some negative press involving Hegseth on recently dismissed DOD staffers and have denied reports that the administration is searching for a replacement for Hegseth.
Fox's Alexandria Hoff. The New York Times quoting four sources that Hegseth used the Signal messaging app again to reveal so-called war plans to people close to him. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Some local reaction on the death of Pope Francis yesterday.
It did change the way that we minister to others, asking us to be more humble, asking us to work for peace, reminding us to care for creation, reminding us to pay attention to those on the margins, especially the poor and those in war-torn areas.
Local Bishop William Wack. Parishioners gathered yesterday at the Basilica of St. Michael in downtown Pensacola. The church in a mourning period now. Pope Francis is laid to rest. He'll lie in state for a few days, a conclave determining the next pope sometime in the next few weeks. Pensacola city officials say the fourth ST Engineering hangar at the Pensacola Airport may have to be scaled back due to budget constraints. Mayor D.C. Reeves says the project was funded in 2016. Since then, there have been cost increases for construction. Airport Director Matt Coughlin says he's not anticipating a huge effect on the jobs that the project will create.
Even though the hangar's smaller, we believe the production required to meet their contracts into the future will be met. As for actual jobs, I think they can pick that up with regard to shift work and how they do their operations. But I think that's a conversation with ST. But I think they're going to have plenty of work in the pipeline, and they're going to probably be using all those jobs. So we'll see.
The city council will be selecting a builder for the fourth hangar at an upcoming city council meeting. Ascend Performance Materials has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection in the U.S. Bankruptcy Court for the Southern District of Texas. Now, that process allows the company to reorganize its finances without facing creditor lawsuits. The Pensacola plant and the rest of the company will continue operating as normal during that period. Well, Monday marked 15 years since the Deepwater Horizon oil rig exploded off the Louisiana coast, spilling nearly 5 million barrels of oil daily throughout a span of just under 3 months. Former Mobile County Commissioner Stephen Nodine reflected on the trauma and the economic impact.
It was traumatic for everyone. We knew that a lot of people were going to lose their livelihoods. We knew that the environmental damage was going to be massive.
Thousands of seabirds and sea turtles fell victim to that catastrophe. It still stands as the largest oil spill in U.S. history. Well, the state will be moving forward with plans to execute a man convicted of killing four people in Okaloosa County. The Florida Supreme Court rejected an appeal from lawyers for Jeffrey Hutchinson yesterday. He was convicted of killing his girlfriend and her three children in Crestview in 1988. His lawyers argued that he shouldn't be put to death because he suffers from brain injuries and cognitive issues from his time in the Gulf War. The 62-year-old is set to be executed on May 1st. Well, an attempt to change Florida's gun laws probably isn't going to move forward in Tallahassee. State Senate Rules Chairwoman Kathleen Passidomo said yesterday that her committee would not be discussing the bill. It would lower the age at which rifles can be purchased. The current law says only those 21 and older could buy rifles or long guns. HB 759 would have lowered that to 18. 735 at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still reporting no accidents right now. Looks like I-10 is rolling smoothly. I-110 is looking good. If you're going 98 westbound toward Garson Point Bridge, you're going to see some delays through that construction zone. But other than that, we are looking good. I'm not seeing any other delays. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. And now our Channel 3 weather forecast with Brooke Richardson.
A chance of some rain as you go into your afternoon. 40% chance overall. High near 79 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 69. For Wednesday, 20% chance of a stray shower in the afternoon. High near 80 degrees. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 68. Going into your Thursday, partly cloudy skies. High near 79. And by Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 69 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, 70 degrees. It is partly cloudy this morning in Pensacola. Our next news is at 8 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, and dependable. Now let's get an update on our pre-opening market conditions with Your Money Now.
Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Lockheed Martin has reported a higher first quarter profit and reaffirmed its forecast for the year on the back of resilient demand for its missile systems and fighter jets. Lockheed's aerospace business, which makes the F-35 fighter jet, posted a 3.1% rise in sales in the first quarter. A federal judge has granted a preliminary injunction to block the Department of Government Efficiency from further accessing sensitive personal information at the Social Security Administration. The order blocks the agency from granting DOGE access to systems containing Social Security numbers, medical records, and more. Wells Fargo analysts said Amazon has delayed some commitments around new data center leases, the latest sign that economic concerns may be affecting tech companies' spending plans. Futures are moderately higher. Monday, the Dow Industrials lost 971. The NASDAQ down 415. The S&P 500 down 124. Once again, futures are moderately higher. That's Your Money Now.
How many times has a paid-by-the-hour repairman come to your home to do repair? And seems to be working awfully slow? Ah! After all, the longer they work, the more you pay. And when they're finally done, you get the bill. It's dangerous to give a repairman a blank check because your bill could be much larger than expected. That's why Barberry Plumbing uses a flat rate pricing system. You'll know exactly to the penny what you'll pay before the work begins. No questions, no surprises, no high bills. You get Barberry Plumbing's team of radio-dispatched uniformed professional service technicians. They can handle any plumbing repair or replacement job you need, including insulation and gas piping to your whole house generator. They are fully insured for both residential and commercial work. Call Barberry Plumbing at 477-8782 or look for Barberry Plumbing in the business white pages. Barberry Plumbing license number is RF11067749.
Have you given your auto loan a second thought lately? Just like you might refinance a home for a better deal, you can do the same with your auto loan. Refinance an existing loan from another institution with PennAir Credit Union and lower your interest rate by up to 2%. Plus, you can skip payments for the first 90 days. Take your old auto loan off of autopilot with PennAir to lower your interest and payments. Learn more at PennAir.org/auto-refi. That's PennAir.org/auto-refi. All loans are subject to approval. Offer valid on loan application submitted between April 1st and June 30th, 2025 only. Call toll-free 1-877-4-PENN-AIR for complete details.
Join Dawn and Sarah Kay from Ashna Navant Health 65 Plus today at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. April is Advanced Care Planning Month, and they'll be discussing the benefits of advanced care planning. Answer your questions, let you know how Ashna Navant Health 65 Plus can help you, who they are, and where they're located.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Good morning, 740 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Someone is telling me that they're actually watching the State Ethics and Elections Committee hearing and the Senate in Tallahassee. This is the one to confirm all the appointments to UWF. And I had missed that apparently Joel Rudman is also on this list as well. Oh, no, there it is, right above that. Andrew Hobbs, who, of course, chief deputy for the Central, or for the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, Ed Fleming, and Zach Smith. Apparently Joel Rudman has resigned. Is what this person is telling me. I am telling you what someone has told me that I consider reliable. I have not seen it for myself, but if that's true, interesting development. Of course, he was unanimously rejected by the former Senate committee, so not a surprise particularly, but to have that happen in real time, it's fascinating. And, of course, they're going to talk about the UWF ones as well. We'll report on that tomorrow. For now, we have Sheriff Chip Simmons, who is here in studio with me. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm great, as always. You had a shooting over the weekend. One man was killed, and I think you've now made an arrest in the case. This was at a, what do you call it, like an event space on Delano, event is that right?
Okay. That's correct, 850 event space. And well, it's actually at a roadway right in front of that.
Okay, so that's the location, but not at the place. It was kind of outside or off-premise. So what happened here?
Well, I think the best place to start is the beginning. So on the 17th, the victim, who we don't typically identify victims, but the victim in this case was involved in a domestic situation with his ex-girlfriend. So the victim's involved. He was not present when we get there, but we do establish probable cause to believe that he committed domestic violence. So we initiate an affidavit. We start to work on getting that arrest report for him. Then the weekend takes place, and on what I believe it's the 19th, the victim and the victim of domestic violence, his sister, was also there.
Okay.
The brother of the domestic violence sister. So her brother was around, and they get into a little bit of an altercation inside, a verbal altercation inside. And then sometime later on, the ultimate victim in this case, he walks outside in the middle of the road. He gets shot at twice. I think he's hit once in the head, and he dies at the scene. So the victim of domestic violence's brother is charged, and his name is Jaylynn, J-E-H-L-Y-N-N, Woods, 24-year-old, and he's charged with that murder.
And you have him in custody, right?
Yes, he is in custody, and we initially put two more people that we felt like were witnesses in the case.
Yeah.
We have since spoken to both of them, and we are no longer looking for anyone else. And the case is pretty much closed. We got to tie up some loose ends, and we'll pretty much be finished with this one.
And so it sounds like in this case, which I note only because it's a little different, is you seem to have gotten a fair amount of cooperation from witnesses, and that's good news, right? I mean, the event itself is horrible news, but the fact that the observers were cooperating was good news, right?
Yes, we did. We got some information. We did a lot of work. Over the weekend, we had a number of our homicide investigators out. They worked pretty much around the clock getting the information we needed, because the first 24, 48 hours are very important. So we were able to get some video from the areas, put everything together, and then ascertain exactly who did the crime. And again, we were able to make an arrest pretty relatively short order. So again, credit goes to our investigators, in this particular case. And
great. Well, that's, I mean, like I said, bad news, but you guys did your job, did the good news. You guys have a drug house that you shut down. I don't think it was one, it's a bulldozer one, but it's one where you put a sign up in front that the drug house is closed, right?
Yeah. As we talk a lot about our narcotics investigations in Escambia County, I think it's important to note that any of our deputies, any sworn deputy can make a drug arrest, and we do. Our patrol deputies get out there and make drug arrests. Our canine, units make drug arrests because we have a priority on fentanyl specifically, but drugs, and because drugs lead to violent crime. I have pretty much doubled the size of our narcotics unit. So our narcotics unit not only works with our federal agencies on task forces, but they also work on their own in neighborhood, what they call nuisance type homes.
Okay.
And one of those was on 800 block of Rumack Street, and what you'll see on our social media platforms from, I guess, the 15th, is that we served a search warrant. We arrested two people, an Ashley Long and a DerMichael Turner. We were able to get 28 grams of meth, a little bit of cocaine, two firearms, and a stolen vehicle was also recovered from the scene. You can see the pictures there. We put this sign up just to let the neighborhood know that your complaints have been heard,
yeah,
and that we are there to make those arrests. There's also a picture of some of the stuff that we seized from the house. I'm not making this out to be, a drug kingpin. What I'm trying to show you is that this was a drug house, a house obviously used to, it looks to me like to sell. This looks a little bit more than personal use. Again, there's the cocaine, there's a couple of the handguns, and there's some pictures of the fine folks that were arrested on this particular case.
And it's always good because the neighbors know, and the neighbors complain, and then you guys have to take your time, build your case, do your surveillance, do all the stuff mm-hmm. that you do. And then, as I got to join the narcotics team on a warrant service,
right.
It's a process, and sometimes you strike gold and sometimes you strike copper, and sometimes you strike tin, you have to work the process, right?
Well, again, if you're in this neighborhood and you see this house and you see the traffic, and you think something's not right there. And if you let Crime Stoppers know, they put that information together. And then our narcotics unit will take a look at it. And as you mentioned, it's a process. Sometimes it takes days. Sometimes it takes weeks. Sometimes we're not able to establish probable cause for a search warrant.
Right.
Sometimes we put that in the back burner, and when it comes back up again, there might be some more information. So we talked a little bit before. I don't know what number it is, but we're in the 60s regarding search warrants over the past year. And again, some of those are, as I've shown, and press conferences and just different press releases, that some of those are huge. Some of those are enough fentanyl to kill 100,000 people, but some of those are the houses that are devastating local neighborhoods. And I'm gonna be honest, it feels good to kick that door in to let people know that, hey, we heard you and we're finally able to do this. And we put that sign out there to aggravate them a little bit.
I love it. We're talking to Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
No accidents to report to you right now. If you're traveling I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, expect about a 7 to 9 minute delay through that construction zone. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks, John. Back to Sheriff Chip Simmons. You guys, speaking of drug arrests, you had a case that you guys were involved with maybe a year or so ago that we had talked about that now has turned into a DEA task force case. But tell us, what was the background here and then what's happened?
Well, if you remember about 6 weeks ago or so, I don't know the exact date, but we were involved in a task force.
Oh, more recent than a year. My fault. Go ahead.
Yeah. It just happened a couple months ago. So we were involved with a task force investigation. As I mentioned, we do our own drug cases, but we also have membership on various task forces. One of those task forces was serving a search warrant, and the bad guy, I don't recall his name, but he was inside and he fired a couple of shots, apparently out the door at the agents that were outside. So he gets into a car, he takes off. We do a pit maneuver, stop him. He gets out on foot, tries to run. There was a video. Someone took a little Facebook video, and we end up tasing him, putting him in jail, and that sort of thing. So
yeah.
Ultimately, because this was began and ended really as a federal investigation, they have their own process, and so
sure.
There is now an indictment for that allegedly firing in at a DEA agent,
attempted murder of a DEA agent, right?
Yeah. So again, that's hopefully he'll be in jail for a long time. We won't have to worry about that type of nonsense anymore.
You guys have a Female Blazer Academy class tonight. That's the fourth group of women going through this. Is that right?
This is the fourth Female Academy, and we're actually on our fourth night.
Oh, so it's
well.
Four for four. Okay,
so
all right, either way.
Yeah, 4-4. So, yeah. It's going very well. It's a good group, good group of young ladies that I was there for the first week, and then I missed a week. So I'll be there again tonight. Not really doing much because it's females,
sure.
Female Blazer Academy.
I assume the mentors are all female officers.
Yes. Well, we have some people coming in, some guest speakers.
Like speakers
coming
and
in,
whatnot.
Not all
but
female,
the primary, but, like one-on-one is
yes.
The females, right?
Yeah, that by design.
Of course.
The males typically teach the male groups, and the females typically teach the female groups. Not that there's anything really secret about it. It's just a comfort level and a shared experience type of thing that we have. With
men raise boys and women raise girls. I mean, this is, in my opinion, this is a no-brainer. But also, I wonder how much to the female, I know how much the male officers love the opportunity to help, you know, raise the men. I assume the female officers are the same. It's just like they love it. They love doing it.
There is certainly a value. I can see it in your eyes when they're teaching the group and when you're engaging. It's like being, I imagine like being a teacher.
Yeah.
And I taught for a little bit at Pensacola State College back in the day. So when you feel like you're really making an impact, you feel like you're hitting on all cylinders there, it makes you feel good. Like you're doing something that's that has a lasting effect. So it's the whole entire Blazer Academy programs, both the male and the female, are just that. And you can see it in the graduation. And as I mentioned before, we're also even having an alumni male class coming up in a month or so.
And, it's funny, I had not thought about it that way, but a lot of times as a cop, you're doing good, you're solving bad things or preventing bad things, but you don't always get that positive, real, like, I mean, being a teacher myself, I know that's very rewarding to see people in the eye and see that you're making a difference in their lives. And so that's a way of, I'm trying to think of the right way to say it, you're giving them not just the women or the boys, but you're giving the adults, the mentors, a positive thing too in their job, the feeling of making a difference and preventing crime and helping people's lives. I mean, it's all around. It's good for everybody.
Well, it's like the way I figured, it's like the motivational speakers. When they're doing research, they're getting motivation themselves.
Yep,
And if it applies to them, typically they can regurgitate that, or they can push that towards whoever's listening to whatever they're saying. I think if you look at all of the great leaders of the world, whether it's a football, Nick Saban's of the world, or whoever your heroes may be, I think you'll find that they do a lot of reading.
Yeah.
I think that they do a lot of studying, and it's one thing to share your experience. It's another thing to borrow upon what you've learned from your own mentor. So I think that's kind of where we're going with the Blazer Academy. That was the design all along, and it has while we maintain flexibility, it's remained consistent with, hey, this is where we're going to be in a community. These are our future leaders, and what would you like to have told them, or been told as an early teen?
No, that's great. What did you teach at PSC, or was it PJC back in the day?
Criminal law.
Okay, yeah. All right, makes sense. Seems relevant to your your job experience.
Depends on who you talk to.
Hey, last thing, I just didn't want to go without mentioning it. Last week was the National Safety Telecommunicators Week, which we used to just say dispatchers. I don't know why we've got to replace one good word with four long, bland words, but okay. These folks you can't say it strongly enough, the significance of what they do and the difficulty of what they do.
Oh, absolutely. I think that, anyone that's spent any time in law enforcement, or I'd imagine any public safety type sector, to know that you have that, what I'll call a lifeline. When I was a police officer, the one thing you made sure that, so oftentimes you're by yourself, and when you initiate a traffic stop, you get out with a suspicious person, you're by yourself. The only thing that you can do, your only lifeline is to call dispatch and tell them where you're at and what you're doing. And many times they can tell by your voice whether they'll go and dispatch a backup before you ask for a backup, or they'll remember to check on you every once in a while. They'll do what we call a 10-4 check every couple of seconds, because they understand what situation is going on. And to know that they're doing this throughout the entire county. Mm-hmm. If you go to our dispatch or communication center, then you'll see they have, four or five large screens right in front of them at any given time. There's a map on one, there's a CAD screen on another. And they kind of they keep all that in order. And then every once in a while I'll look back and they'll say, okay, are you 10-4? Or you remember to do? A lot of times they remind us to do what we should be doing. Shouldn't you be what we call code this call out so you can get to the next one? And then they determine typically who's closest to a call. Now computers are changing things a little bit with GPS and stuff. It's mm-hmm. easier to know. But a lot of times they'll say, hey, you go. No, you don't need to go. I got another call for you. You can go. But to know that they can do this 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, is just incredible to me. It's a job that I could not do.
It is very psychologically demanding. It takes a special set of skills and capabilities, calm under pressure, all of the things. I don't say this as any kind of this is going to sound weird, but they are literally the God operating the system. It's the way I think of it. They're the voice of reassurance. They're the voice of comfort and safety. You know that they're there, whether you're calling in as an individual or whether you're an officer, depending on them sending you backup or anything. They are it's a lot of responsibility on those shoulders.
So let me age myself a little bit. When I first started at the Pensacola Police Department, we had our dispatch center right next to the front desk or desk sergeant. And that was before you had to be a certified telecommunicator
yep.
or communicate the dispatcher. Part of the training would be to sit in on the console and dispatch calls.
Yep.
And you really learn a great appreciation for what's going on. And if you talk to any law enforcement officer, they will be the first to say, hey, we certainly couldn't do our job without the dispatchers. And if you really want to know how important they are, let the dispatch console go out for a short period of time.
Yeah.
And find us trying to go back and go old school.
Absolutely. Sheriff Chip Simmons, always a pleasure, sir. Thank you for keeping us safe, keeping us informed, and we'll look forward to and even raising the next generation of good citizens with the Blazer Academies. I love that program. We'll talk to you again next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.
7:55, News Radio 92.3, John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. It looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Not seeing any delays there. But if you're on Highway 29 just south of West 9 Mile Road headed southbound, you're going to experience maybe a 10 to 12 congestion delay there. No accidents to report. Other than that, we are good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
It's spring at Anderson Subaru, the perfect time to refresh your ride. With 3.9% for 63 months on 2025 Subaru Outback models, or get 3.9% for 48 months on 2025 Forester models and 2025 Crosstrek models. At Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you. Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
We Care Home Hotline. This is Woody.
Woody, I need big help. My husband was working on the lights and he...
I may be small, but I know a thing or two about big jobs. Just call the experts at WeCare and maybe take that honey-do list away from your fella. WeCare's HVAC, plumbing and electrical experts have thousands of positive reviews over the last 10 years. Let the gnome protect your home. Schedule online at WeCareHeatandAir.com.
Bands on the Beach is back. Bring a lawn chair or a towel and enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music every Tuesday night at 7. This week, the White Sands Panhandle Band takes the stage. It's one of the hottest bands in bluegrass country and rockabilly on the Gulf Coast. You'll hear everything from Marty Stewart to Marty Rabin to Charlie Daniels. At Bands on the Beach, brought to you by the Santa Rosa Island Authority. Don't bring any pets or glass.
Hi, this is Jeff Wayne, General Sales Manager of ADX Communications. Our team of expert marketing consultants, backed by over 200 years of combined experience, has helped hundreds of local businesses increase their market share. With four powerful radio stations, we can create a customized marketing plan tailored to your needs. And if digital advertising is part of your strategy, we've got you covered. ADX Digital offers cutting-edge solutions and exclusive products and strategies that gives your business an edge. Let's make 2025 a year of success for your business, whether it's on the market leader, Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, the area's top news talk station, the go-to for sports fans, ESPN Pensacola 99.1, Pensacola Playlist 94.5 for reaching women and lifestyle audiences, or ADX Digital, targeted digital strategies that drive results. One call, one team, endless possibilities. Call me, Jeff Wayne, at 850-262-6000.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Dr. Hasseldorf, what can we expect in the next few hours?
Well, Gail, by this time, the hostages should be going through the early stages of the Helsinki syndrome.
As in Helsinki, Sweden.
Finland.
One of my favorite little throwaway lines from Die Hard is when the news anchor tries to mansplain and gets it wrong. As in Helsinki, Sweden. No, sir. 7:58, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I've now had more than one person tell me that Joel Rudman has, in fact, resigned from the Board of PSC Trustees. He was in front of the Ethics and Elections Committee with Senator Don Gates this morning, and that did not go the way he was hoping, apparently. Also, they have pulled off the UWF trustees for side votes, which totally expected that. David Wayne is in the newsroom with a quick headline for us. David?
Yes. Well, good morning. An investigation underway after an engine problem in Orlando. This was on a Delta jet. The flight from Orlando to Atlanta had to be halted on the tarmac. Apparently, flames were shooting out of the engine before takeoff in Orlando. But the good news, the crew and passengers were all able to get off of that plane safely.
That's the good news. No big deal. Just the gas mixture is a little bit rich. Little jet fuel's a little rich mixture. That's all that is. Just burning off the excess. No big deal. Have you seen the video?
Oh, it's scary.
The good news is at least everybody got off the plane safely, and the good news is it was on the tarmac when it happened. Because, in the air would be less ideal.
Stream us at NewsRadio923.com. NewsRadio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.